What up? It's Wise Woman Wednesday. It's Jasmine Jarvis for the At Technically Female podcast. Today I have a really good special guest for you, a good friend of mine, Dr. Caitlin Moss. Hey, Caitlin,
Hey,
how are you? Doing good, doing good. It's almost getting closer to that summertime. Summertime fun for us
Jude.
steministas.
Oh, yeah.
So, Caitlin, I wanted to learn a little bit more about you and who you are. Just walk me through this. Caitlin, she's a pharmacist, probably one of the smartest women I know. Miss Flashcards, I like to call her. She stays with some flashcards. But tell me a little bit about yourself and why did you become a pharmacist and what did that look like for you?
So there's a lot of reasons why I became a pharmacist. Growing up, I always had an interest in healthcare. I would like joke around with my parents, like pretend like I would make them like pass out on the ground, and I would like run up to them and like pretend to be a doctor. I've always been interested in healthcare, watching any healthcare shows on TV, and I knew that once I got to college, I had the opportunity to kind of explore that interest, and I got to, shadow doctors, dentists, and by my senior year, I kind of felt like, medical doctors, it's okay. They don't really have much of a work-life balance. I don't know if I can deal with that. I like healthcare, but not enough to, like, miss time with my family. Dentistry, it kind of bored me a little bit, so I really didn't even have an interest. I did a summer internship with my dentist, and I was kind of bored the whole time, and I said, no, that's not really what I want to do. So by my senior year of college, I decided to take a job working at Walmart in the pharmacy. And through that journey, working at Walmart, I kind of learned what I did and didn't like about pharmacy. And then there was a lot that I loved about pharmacy, but certain things that I didn't like about pharmacy. And through just working there, I was able to make a decision that I wanted to pursue pharmacy after graduating college. So I decided to pursue pharmacy. Since I decided so late in my college career, I decided to take a year off of school and work in a compounding pharmacy for 1 year while I studied for the TCAT. Took my time just getting in the field of pharmacy and learning about it as much as I could, and I applied for pharmacy school, and I started school the following year after graduating college, and I graduated pharmacy school in 2017 from Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, and I've been working as a pharmacist ever since.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Wow. So a lot of terms, Dr. Moss always throws out that I'm trying to catch, trying to keep up with. So, professional pill distributor, got that. Now, you mentioned a little something about compounding. Can you kind of give us some insight into the difference? Because, for me, and excuse my ignorance, I know pharmacy is pills equals pills. That's all I got. But I know you mentioned compounding. What does that look like? Like,
Right.
what are some of the different things you can do as a pharmacist or in that, I guess, industry or realm?
So, yeah, so I mean, when I got into pharmacy as a technician, the only thing I knew, like most people, is a pharmacist working in a retail setting. So that's Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, Target, any of those pharmacies. That's what most of us think of when we think of a pharmacist. So after graduation, I knew that I kind of wanted to explore other areas of pharmacy just to have that background. So I found a compounding pharmacy, which compounding is kind of old school, actually. Back in the day, most pharmacies all did compounding, but now it's kind of a certain niche that you can get into that I really enjoyed, actually. So for compounding pharmacy, basically we compound anything from capsules, cream. We also compound things for animals. So, animals can't really swallow pills, so we would make things into like a form that animals could take, either like a liquid that they could take, or we even put it into like a solid form that they could eat. So we would do a lot of hormone replacement therapy creams for women going through menopause, even hormone replacement for men. So we did a lot of things like that, which is pretty weak field in pharmacy. But now I happen to work in hospital pharmacy, so I work as an inpatient pharmacist at a hospital. And I basically work in the hospital, you know, verifying medication orders that doctors may write, answering a lot of medication drug information questions from physicians, nurses, mostly nurses. I talk to nurses all day long about any random questions they may have about a medication that they're administering, or a physician they call just to get clarification on how he should dose a medication or how long she should give a medication. So we just get a lot of questions, but I'm just kind of like the open book for nurses and physicians pretty much in the hospital.
Gotcha. And how, and that sounds like a lot. Like, that sounds like a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of studying. I don't even know the amount of drugs or pills that exist. And it's funny because when you were talking through the compounding, I was thinking about, you know, like Ozark or like Power, like shows like that that you see on TV with people making cocaine or whatever they make on those movies. And that's what I thought about when you said that. Right. And so I as you were mentioning the pills, like, how do you memorize, you know, what to inform the nurses or the doctors? Like, how were you able to learn all of those things? Like, it's got to be hard to remember all that stuff.
That's a great question. So the funny thing about pharmacy is it's ever changing, ever growing. Like, every time you turn around, there's a new drug coming out, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's no way that you can know everything. But one thing that they taught us in pharmacy school is you don't have to know everything, but you do need to know how to quickly find information.
Gotcha.
So we became, you know, drug information experts by, we had a whole class that it was pretty boring, but now looking back, it's so important, called drug information. And what that class taught us was where to go when you get a certain question, where to look it up, what's the fastest way to look it up, how many different resources can you go to look it up. So, you know, when a doctor calls me about something, you know, most of the time, the common questions I get, I can answer off the top of my head, but certain questions are really in-depth.
I mean,
most of the time, the doctor has already tried to look it up himself, and he can't find the answer. So they're coming to you because you're the drug information expert. So, you know, you have to be able to go to your resources that the doctor may not have available to him or her and be able to quickly find that information. So there have been a lot of times where a doctor or a nurse will call me and ask a question, and I'm like, I honestly have no idea. And that's fine to say.
Oh, that's, wow, that's amazing. Say, that's good.
Yeah.
Because it could be a lot of pressure,
say,
right?
I have no clue what you're talking about. I've never heard that before, but I will get back with you. And we're able to use many resources available to us on our computers and quickly look up something, or it may take time to look up things. That's basically the big part of being a pharmacist, is not only knowing information, but mostly just knowing how to quickly find the answer. So you don't have to know everything. So that's our plus.
Well, I had no idea, because I just assume in my mind, you know, you had to know everything. So that's really good. So it's a little bit of like being able to be flexible, adaptable, thinking on your feet. But then also I heard you mention there's like a human side of it too, like being able to deal with people. And so how do you feel you were able to kind of prepare yourself to deal with people? Because I know, you know, being in undergrad with you, went to college together, college friends, I mean, friends for a really long time, but I know in college there's a lot of chemistry, a lot of biology, which is very science related. But how were you able to kind of learn to deal with people? Because it sounds like there's a huge focus on human capital or people in your profession as well.
I feel like school teaches you that somewhat, but I mean, it has to be, you can't still be motivated
as well.
A lot of pharmacists get a bad rep for kind of being introverted. I mean, I am introverted, you know, when you go to CVS, pharmacists like behind that counter, they don't come out. Unless, like, they really need to be, you know, you really need to be seen. But I think, you know, we have classes that are dedicated to solely just learning how to counsel and how to talk to people and how to pull out information, because the big thing with healthcare is you can only do so much with the information you have. So, you know, you're talking to a patient and they're not giving you the full story, how can you truly make an accurate diagnosis, or how can you truly you know, figure out what medication may be causing the side effect, they're not really telling you about their side effects. You know, that's a common thing. People don't really talk about certain things, and so you're not able to make a conclusion without the information. So just being able to talk to people and, you know, learn how to get the information you need to make the right diagnosis or the, you know, the right steps to help them is a big thing. So being in hospital pharmacy, I don't really have much interaction with patients because I'm mostly talking to physicians and nurses.
Oh.
But, you know, I have, like I said, most of my communication is with doctors and nurses. So just knowing how to interact with them in a way that, you know, professional, because sometimes, you know, there's a lot of egos that are in hospital.
Oh, I bet.
So
you're getting paid a lot of money.
Right. So there's a lot of egos, so you have to know how to navigate that and how you talk to people in a way that, you know, doesn't demean them or make them feel, you know, less than, mm-hmm. and also, you know, get your point across. Because sometimes you may have to advocate, stand up for a patient. You've never met this patient. You're down in the pharmacy, but you may see something that a doctor ordered that is clearly wrong or not thought out well, and you may have to contact that doctor and say, hey, I saw you ordered this, but I think there's a better alternative to this, or did you really want to order this medication at this strength when, you know, their kidney function is not good? Do you want to kind of go down on that dose? Like, you kind of have to word things in a way that's not offensive, even though, but still be assertive at the same time, and that's just something you kind of learn over time.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's, it's almost like you have to have a little bit of guts and assertion, and I really like that you called that out, because I think so easily, and it's very easy for us as women to shy away from being assertive, just because it's like, oh, she's assertive, so she's, you know, rude, or she's assertive and she just only wants to see it her way, or oh, she's assertive because she doesn't know what she's talking about. And it can become pretty difficult, especially if you're in a field where you're the only woman or one of few, or to your point, the doctors or the physicians that you're working with are mainly male, and, you know, they have the thoughts of, you know, I went to school this long, and so I know exactly what I'm talking about, and so they're...
Oh, yeah, so, you hear that a lot.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's a balance of how, you know, it's a dance of how to be assertive and where it fits and how to do it. It's almost like, I'm sure you have to try to convince them, like, it's their idea. I've found that quite a lot in my career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly what you have to do.
Yeah, it's like I kind of
feel like, you know, like you said, for me, that was a big learning curve after I graduated. Like, you know, I'm not a confrontational person. So when I would have to challenge something a doctor did, I kind of was timid at first. And, you know, but at the same time, you have to realize this is somebody's life on the line. So you can't be timid when it comes to somebody's life. Like, you have to, you know, stand up for what it is that you believe is best, and hope that, you know, they will take heed to that. And, you know, I just kind of, what we learned is kind of treat every patient like it's your grandma. Like, would you let something slide if it was your grandma? No, you wouldn't let it slide. You would fight for it to be right. So that's just the attitude that I take with everything.
Yeah, and that makes it a little bit more human. That makes it a little bit more human and deeper in your heart when you think about, like, someone that's your blood and your person, or, you know, you're someone you love. It adds another dynamic to it, the situation. So that's very interesting that's kind of how you think through when you're treating a patient, especially to your point earlier of someone you may or may not have ever met before, but to your point, their life's on the line, so you want to make sure you're doing everything that you can to give them the time and the attention and the drugs if they need that. And so you talked a little bit about your journey going to, I know you went to undergrad, you went to pharmacy school, you're now in pharmacy in a hospital. Was there ever a setback or an obstacle or a barrier through that journey? Because I can only imagine just the amount of school alone, years of school that you had to go through to get to where you are. But kind of let's talk a little bit about some of the obstacles or things that happened that were really rough or unexpected even through your journey.
Yeah, so, I mean, school itself is just hard. There's no other way to put it. It was hard, you know. like I said, I decided I wanted to be a pharmacist my senior year of college, so I started pretty late. That in itself, you know, I had to take a step back, and I gave myself that year off of school to kind of get solidified in what I wanted to do and take the time to study for the PCAT and all of that. So, you know, that kind of set me back a year, if you want to call that a step back. Mm-hmm.
And so PCAT's the professional exam to be
a pharmacy. It's a pharmacy entrance exam.
Gotcha.
So, that's the exam you have to take, kind of like the GMAT or the GRE. For pharmacy school, pretty much.
Makes sense.
So that itself, I guess, is sort of a setback. And then in pharmacy school, you know, living in South Carolina, there's not that many African Americans there. So feeling just kind of navigating that and in a whole new environment. I had never moved outside of the state of North Carolina before, so just navigating being in a whole new state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being a minority was hard in pharmacy school. There were only five other African-American females in my class of 80. We were the only African-Americans in our class. We had no African-American males in our class. So, you know, we kind of stuck together. And, you know, that was our core study group. We studied together, did everything together. We all, you know, got through it together. But, you know, after pharmacy school is when I, you know, experienced a few setbacks. But I wanted to pursue residency at pharmacy school. And, you know, I applied my fourth year of pharmacy school, and I did not get residency. I didn't match. So that was, you know, I was devastated, to say the least.
I bet, because you've been 4 years of school, 4 years out of undergrad to do pharmacy school. And it's like it's an expectation, right, almost, or it feels like it
right.
At that point.
Right, it kind of feels like, you know, for me, you know, I don't reject too much something I experience too often, so when it happens, I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm a failure, like,
right.
why me, kind of thing, and looking back on it, you know, it was a good thing. I was, you know, for me, I thought, oh, if I don't do residency, I'm never going to get a job in a hospital. How am I going to work in a hospital if I don't have residency? And, I mean, my first job out of pharmacy school was in a hospital, so it didn't set me back as much as I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
I started working, I graduated in May. By August, I was working in a hospital setting. So that, you know, that was, look back on it thinking that, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. I still got to where I wanted to be eventually, so it didn't set me back. Then graduating pharmacy school, one thing that, you know, you don't really realize as you get out is the job market in pharmacy is, you know, not the greatest right now. There is a surplus of pharmacists, but a deficit in jobs right now.
Oh, wow.
So coming out of pharmacy school, I was only able to obtain a part-time job in, hospital. I knew I wanted to be in hospital. I said when working at Walmart, I realized what I liked and what I didn't like. Mm-hmm. Working at Walmart showed me I did not like retail pharmacy. So I knew that I did not want to work in retail pharmacy. But coming out of school, that was my only option, was hospital. I wasn't looking at anything else. And the only thing I was able to obtain was part-time. So that was kind of a setback because, of course, I wanted to be making more money, you know, I have plenty of student loans.
Of course.
That's a major setback.
Gotta pay that money back, yeah.
That's my greatest setback right now, the student loans. So I wanted to start paying them back. After working a year in hospital, or almost 2 years in hospital, I was able to get a full-time job at a different hospital. So, you know, things tend to work themselves out in the end.
Yeah.
But then it's funny, you know, I get my full time job, and then what happens? I get pregnant. So then it's like, oh, I really don't want to work full time anymore. I want to kind of scale back on my hours to have more time with my daughter. And luckily, my dad was pretty flexible, and they, you know, they were like, sure, that's fine. You know, if you want to cut that, you can cut that. Yeah. So I was able to do that. So
that's a blessing. That's really
everything
a blessing.
Everything kind of works out in the end.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, sometimes I think as women too, we think, oh, my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan, like this is what I – these are all the steps that I want to happen, and then 5 years happen, you're like, none of this happened, or, you know, it was completely different, and that's kind of what I hear you're saying is, you know, I had this big goal of, like, going to pharmacy school, being in residency, but it also sounds like some positive came out of it. You realized, you know, you didn't want to be in retail pharmacy, you had a daughter, you got married, and, like, even though there might have been something less on the professional side, you still gained something on the personal side, right? And so I think being okay with your story not being exactly how you've written it out, but letting the story write itself sometimes, I think, it's easier said than done, obviously. I'm not saying that it's easy for a type A or driven or motivated woman to be like, okay, change the story
it's
that I have planned.
It's hard for a type A person to accept that failure or that, you know, that no, when you get that no, it's like, wait, who are you saying no to?
Right. Like, I know I'm qualified. Like, you need me.
Right. So it's hard to accept it when it happens, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. Everything works out in the end, so.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you talked about this a little bit, and, you know, you're a mom, you're in pharmacy, and there's very few women, especially women of color in pharmacy. So how do you balance, you know, pursuing a STEM career and being a mom? Like, how that sounds like just one of those is, I know, I don't have any kids currently, so I'm barely able to take care of myself. I'm not a kid, but I'm barely able to take care of myself. How do you balance all of that?
Honestly, having a village, I cannot do any of this by myself, honestly. You know, some days I have to be at work at 6 a.m.
Wow.
Most days I'm at work at either 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. And daycare don't open that early. So, you know, I have to rely on my village to help, you know, getting my daughter to daycare or sometimes pick up from daycare or days when I work late. You know, sometimes I may have to work till 7 p.m. or 9 p.m. and I have to, you know, rely on somebody to watch her while I'm at work. So I could not do it without my village around me, my you know, my parents, my in-laws, you know, my siblings. They all collectively have helped me balance. Because just not even on the work side, but just for me to be able to go out and enjoy, you know, going to dinner with friends.
Me time.
I have to rely on other people. So I think that's the biggest thing. And then work life balance has always been important for me. Growing up, you know, my parents were teachers, so I, you know, never had to experience my parents working late or any of that. So they were always home by 4 o'clock. We were home. You know, I never had to experience that, and that's something that I want for my children, because I know, like, that was special to me, being able to have that time with my parents. So I think just being able to cut back on my hours, that was one thing about pharmacy that drew me to pharmacy, was the work-life balance. Pharmacy is mostly female-dominated. It's one of the few healthcare fields that are female-dominated. And, you know, there's lots of opportunities for part-time work or even per diem work. So that I knew, you know, later on in life when I wanted to retire, I'm still able to work per diem, you know, maybe 1 or 2 days a month if I want to. So that really drew me to pharmacy as a profession as well.
Yeah, I like that you say that, because I think a lot of times we have these ideas of what career we want, but we also don't think about what we give up, right? And making sure that the career aligns with the flexibility that we need, the lifestyle outside of the work company or work area or environment, and making sure that there's that balance. And I think without that balance, it's really easy to just like get to a place that you don't want to be, you know, and lose the mental or lose that, you know, lose yourself, really. And so I commend you for really leveraging your village and having a village to help support you through that, because I can only imagine, like I said, just taking care of myself is a lot. So imagine taking care of a daughter and then waking up early and, you know, not having a daycare open. Like, those are real things that I think so many women deal with and are just trying to make it through, as well as pursuing their career. And so, you know, before we begin to wrap up this episode, I know everyone's probably, you know, sick of, but like so into COVID, and you know, COVID's taken over the US, it's taken over the world, and you know, it's this huge pandemic that's completely flipped the US upside down, like totally unexpected. And so, you know, just really want to get, you know, a quick hindsight from you on what did this pandemic reveal to you, especially as a pharmacist? Like, what did it reveal?
It revealed a lot, honestly. Like, who would have thought, like, when I chose to go into healthcare, that I would be working through a pandemic? Like, this probably won't happen again for another 100 years.
Yeah. So, 2020 like, looked so great until COVID hit in March. Thanks, COVID.
Right. So it's kind of cool, like, in a nerdy way. Like, wow, like, I got to experience it. But, you know, there's plenty of negative, you know, things with COVID. But, one thing, I guess, on the, you know, drug side, medication side, is, you know, most drugs or vaccines take years to come to the market. Mm. And we're talking the cost of having a vaccine in less than 2 years, which is crazy to me.
That's so fast. That's almost like scary.
I thought I'd never see. And it is kind of, it's scary, it's crazy, and, it just shows, like, where the need is, like, when things, you know, we're not able to predict these things, and when it happens, how fast are we able to jump on top of it and get it under control? And I think a lot of the gaps that I've noticed, just with the U.S. compared to other, you know, industrialized countries, we're behind, you know, and when it comes to these things. As much as we like to think we're the greatest and best country, we're not
that ego again. That ego again.
Right. We're not that great when it comes to public health. Like, we're struggling for, you know, PPE, you know, masks and gloves and the gowns that we wear when we go to compound medications and the IV room. Like, we're behind. And in other countries, you know, they're going door to door checking temperatures, you know, quarantining people, and we're struggling to have tests. So, it has revealed to me a lot of the gaps in my healthcare system. I knew there were a lot of gaps before, but this has revealed, you know, even greater gaps that we have. And I hopefully from this we'll be better prepared if something were like this to happen again. You know, at my job, we went from having to wear masks 5 days in a row. Like, we weren't able to get new masks. We had to review our masks for 5 days straight.
My goodness.
Yeah, and now we're down to now we can get a new mask every day, as of a few days ago. So things are starting to get better. The cases are definitely going down. I think, you know, as long as we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing with social distancing and wearing our masks when we go out in public, and just being smart, you know, hand washing, doing all the things that we should be doing anyway, I think we'll come out of this. But I think the public health system and healthcare system in the U.S., we've learned a lot from this, and hopefully we'll be better in the future.
I hope so, too. I hope that everyone's eyes is now open, not necessarily to be scared, but just, like, open and aware of, like, just one little thing can change the trajectory of the world, of the U.S., of our jobs, of our health. You know, just all thinking of all the lives that was lost because we weren't more proactive, to your point, and, you know, really taking that not lightly anymore. So I think that's so crucial, and I'm so glad you brought that up. And, you know, with, you know, the episodes that we've been doing near the end, is I love for all of my guests to give a word to the wise, and wise is women in science and engineering. And, you know, you talked a little bit through it, but what is your word to the wise you'd love to give to our TF tribe?
So my word to the wise is everything happens for a reason. You know, I went through a lot of ups and downs throughout, you know, pursuing my pharmacy degree. You know, things with just dealing with, you know, upset setbacks, you know, dealing with health issues from family members and just getting through all of that. And, you know, right now I'm in a good place, and I feel like everything kind of happened for a reason. It led me to where I am now. At the time, I couldn't, you know, you don't see it at the time. You don't see how these things are helping you and making you a better person. You know, it's not a, you know, setback, but it may be a redirection into where you need to go. And I think that, you know, being redirected is something we need and something we may not know we need, but you'll see it, you know, in the future. And I'm happy for all the setbacks that I had, because it brought me to where I am now. And, you know, everything happens for me.
Yeah. I love that. I'm going to start, instead of saying setbacks or obstacles, I'm going to say a redirection. That's a good one, that key. Hashtag redirection is what I'm going to start saying in my social media. I love that. Well, I really thank you, Dr. Caitlin Moss, for providing that great perspective to let us in a little bit into your journey into pharmacy and kind of what you're doing now and what led you there. And we're so grateful for you and all of our members in the healthcare industry fields that are on the front line dealing with the pandemic and making sure that we're all taken care of. And so yet again, another great podcast episode for Technically Female. Looking forward to continue the conversations, to learn more about all the amazing women that we have that are taking care of our communities and our nation. So until next time, thank you so much, Dr. Moss.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, TF Tribe. Let's continue the conversation next week on the Technically Female podcast. Check me out on @technicallyfemale Instagram in order to see what's going on with the tribe. See you next week.